Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Late Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Little treat now for fans of my previous life. You may remember that before my radio husband Ian Lee, I mean, it's a very strained relationship, but we're just about clinging on. I was with a gentleman called Ronnie Barber, and I'm about to get back with him now that my husband is out of town, so to speak. Hello, Ronnie Barber.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's a really good setup, isn't it? That's great. Yeah, Ian's out of town. Why don't you come on the show tonight, Ronnie? That would be so much better. I mean, you've made me angry. You've made me angry the first half hour of this programme right now. Two things. Well, first, go. Actually, Smarties. I get Smarties stuck up my nose as I go.
And how did that happen?
I put them up. I just put them up there. I didn't have a really particularly big nose, but my mum noticed my nose was kind of, I was kind of nasally. And I sneezed and three Smarties, and by the way, three Smarties of different colours came hanging down my nose.
Wow. Were they all up the same nostril, or had you spread them out?
No, well, there's only two nostrils, Catherine. Here we go again. How many times have we talked about your physiological and biology? You're rubbish, you're great at English, not that. The biology stuff, you know, when we were a thing, when we were an item, you know.
yeah, it was always a problem.
It was 2-in-1, two command, and they're all different colours.
Nowadays, that would get you on Britain's Got Talent. You were before your time.
I could have done that. I could have sold it for 500 quid in these programmes where you film people doing stuff and, you know. But I was written up in The Lancet and everything. I was written up in The Lancet, but I don't talk about that. Another thing I want to talk about tonight about you is you've been talking about Stevie Nicks.
Yeah, I love her.
But one of the women that we've talked about before who made a big influence was Mrs. Mills.
Oh, yeah. Mrs. Mills.
Yeah.
She was wonderful. I don't know whether she had quite as much of a publicised struggle with your marching powder, but I wouldn't be surprised. It might explain some of the...
Everybody has to have the same talk as you had, and that you never had, ever, Cathy.
No.
But, you know, they don't have to have that problem to get anywhere in show business.
No, it's true. It's true. And Mrs. Mills was wonderful. That was always the act, wasn't it? She never did a sort of... Mrs. Mills is the one I'm thinking of that was on the sort of party albums, right? That used to play the piano and do the singing.
Yeah, Bobby Crushing a Dress. Yeah. And she entertained us for hours and hours. Usually just a 3-minute piece, but it was brilliant. But she turned piano playing into piano playing, really. She was just fantastic. Another thing I was pleased to hear, which I haven't heard for a while, is your southern accent. It's lovely to hear that. Well, I do declare. It's lovely to hear that. Have you been working?
Yeah. Yeah, did you know? Well, I've been working on it a lot. But did you know that story about that? That's what the age of 17 was. She misheard it as the age of 17 when they got together.
Why did they?
They surely did.
Well, I do declare.
It's one of my favourite facts.
I know. Yeah, you used to extol me, or not bore me, but you used to tell me about the fact. In the past, and I used to love that when you used to set me down to say, "Let me tell you a story, Uncle Ronnie." and they were lovely days. They were lovely days.
Oh, they were fun though, Ronnie. It was really fun when we were allowed to play.
I hated it, Catherine. I hated every one of it. You were difficult. I don't mean that. No disrespect, but you were just difficult. The affairs. The alcohol.
Yeah. It's very much, very much the Lindsay Buckingham of the group.
Yeah, yeah, you were. Yeah, and when you did the dancing with me as well, I was like your, I was like the drummer, and I was like Fleetwood. I was like Mick Fleetwood.
All right, yeah.
I used to wear belts.
Belts with balls.
Yes, I used to wear those all the time. But I am pleased to hear you're talking about I like body things, as you know. I like to hear.
Well, I know. Audience. Well, you were you're a former medical man, and you never lose that, do you?
No, I've seen tonsils getting taken out. That's one of the big things. If you've ever seen that, it's like scoops, Catherine. It's like big scoops.
How big are they in when they're actually out? Because I've been asked to look at them before, and I just see an inflamed throat. But what do they look like when they're out?
Well, they're like what you think they would look like. They are glands, Catherine. Remember, they are glands. And in the old days, before even you were born, they were whipped out, just taken out. But then they discovered they are major infection-fighting glands.
Oh, I see.
So you would want to keep them. By the way, I got COVID tested last week. I had the thing. I had the up the nose, down the throat.
Right. This I need to hear about, because people were, when it all started, people were saying, I want to be tested. And there were a number of nurses online who took great delight in saying, oh, really? Because that cotton bud has to go quite far into your head.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah. I had to do it myself, though. The army. The army turned up. It's a pop-up. It's a wee bit like a fake place, you know, to just pop up. In fact, it was a pop-up restaurant. You had your test and you went for a wee tackle. And it was lovely. But the thing is, I don't have tonsils, because the guy said, I hope I'm not giving away any medical secrets here, but the guy said, you have to touch your tonsils with the swab. And I don't have tonsils.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So I had to go down really quite deep. But it was fine. It did bring me tears. But I'm negative, Catherine. I'm negative.
Excellent. Well, that's one test everyone's happy not to pass, aren't they?
Yeah, it is. I'm positive, I'm negative, as Donald Trump said.
What an idiot.
Yeah. Have you been tested yet? Because you're a main celebrity.
I'm a key worker. No, I've not been. But Ian's bought one of those antibody tests that you can buy, the expensive ones.
Yeah.
Although I read in the paper today that they the bosses of the medical, whatever it's called, board, are saying that they shouldn't be processing those from now on. So I don't know where that leaves us. I've not done the test yet. Ian did himself quite a mischief, actually, trying to get blood, because you get a little bottle. It's not a smear of blood they want. They want, like, something you can swish around.
Swish around? Sort of thing at the end of your finger?
No, not like, you know, if you're diabetic, you do a spot test. This was like they wanted a certain amount of blood that you could swill around in a small bottle.
Dodgy.
I know.
Yeah.
So I've not done mine yet.
Did they get it from a reputable source?
He got it from a reputable source. I think he got it from Superdrug.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure that's reputable then. I'm not entirely sure you need ampules.
Exactly. Well, they gave him, he said to me that they gave him, you'll know this is a medical term, Ronnie, lancets. You got two lancets per kit, but unfortunately, the reason I can't do mine is because he used my lancets too to try and get the amount of blood that he needed out. It was awful. It looks like it was some sort of murder scene that he managed to recreate.
That's just selfish, little Catherine. He used yours. That's just selfish.
Yeah. I don't care about that.
We know that, but that's just selfish. You're not your lancet when you can have caused yourself a major injury as well.
Exactly. Leave my lancet alone. It's my business.
Yes. That was your catchphrase in the old days. I remember you used to end every show like that. Really good. Yeah, it's really. But I just wanted to bring that up because I was angry, Catherine, Mrs. Mills. But the Southern accent, that really is. Is that the Southampton accent? Is that,
yeah, is that pr- Pretty much, yeah. I try and keep it. I try not to offend anyone, so I make it as rubbish as possible, so no one thinks I'm getting at them. That's what I'm. That's what I'm aiming for with my accent.
That's not working, Catherine. The offending thing. That's not working.
Oh, Ronnie, so nice. So nice to hear your voice. So, what kind of a day have you had?
I do a wee podcast in the morning. A wee podcast.
Right, give us a plug.
I work with this guy who has been. A guy called Paul Steenton, and it's Steenton and Barber.
I remember him.
Yeah, he's rubbish. I'm the star. I'm the funny one. Obs. Steenton and Barber's Antidote, and it's on. It's all your available thing. Yeah, so we do a wee thing of that. And then, believe it or not, I went out for the first time today. My wife and I, I'm still married, Cathy. Not to the same woman you remember. I've gone to third, fourth wife now. There we go. Same business, isn't it? Anyway, and we went out to home base, and I wore my mask for the first time.
Oh.
Oh, it's quite an experience. Although it's the balaclava mask I've got. You know, the stuff that I was in the forces. So the security guy was a bit weird about when I turned up with the balaclava mask on, because I wanted some paint. And he wasn't too happy that to frisk me. But the great thing is they allow you to frisk them back. So it was a frisk back. It was worth it. And so I've been painting the dining room today, Catherine, with a paint called Caramel Latte.
Right. That's brown, isn't it?
Aye.
Light brown.
Yeah, it's a light brown, but it dries lighter than it. Sorry, Catherine, we are talking about paint drying you.
So I was doing that.
And I moved the curtains from one side of the patio door to the other, painted one side, then moved the curtains back.
Wow.
To that, and then that you have to put the curtains down. So I'm quite an innovator.
You did a real thorough job. It's like a professional job there, moving the curtains out of the way.
Yeah.
Rather than painting around them.
When I get a brush in my hands, Catherine, I'm Leonardo DiCaprio. That's who I am. I'm still there. By the way, I noticed you're doing a lot of painting and decorating these days.
I'm doing a lot of painting, but it's just really to stop myself from going bonkers. Just bonkers. I get so bored, Ronnie. It's so bored. But do you know what? We were saying yesterday, bored is a luxury. Do you know what? Bored is good at this situation. Yeah. I'd rather be bored than anything else at this point, so...
Absolutely. But Catherine, why do you have to inflict your painting onto everybody? and no disrespect here, but I'm saying this in love. But Catherine, there are online courses for this kind of thing. You can go to your YouTube and they'll take you through the kind of brushes you need to buy and everything.
Yeah.
Why don't you do your ceiling or something? Why don't you do it like a Ian mural on the ceiling? You know, like the Sistine Chapel, where you kind of lying on a chaise lounge.
Wow. Okay, you've given that quite a lot of thought. All right, I'll definitely consider it. I mean, apparently they've moved floors at Talk Radio. We've not been in the actual studio since they moved it upstairs for some reason. So I'm thinking they'll probably appreciate it if I jazz it up a little bit when I go back. You know, put our own little stamp on it.
Yeah, we love that. Yeah, just be, you walk in and you see you looking down like that, kind of heavenly. That'd be fantastic. I'd like to see that, to be fair. Yeah, but keep trying to sell the paintings. All right, keep doing that because the great artists have to go through the tough times as well. So you keep on doing that. Don't you give up your boss.
Oh, thanks very much, Ronnie. You've always been an encouraging soul. I appreciate it. I'm going to have to go and put some adverts on and stuff so that I can...
Oh, damn it, you're still selling your soul yet?
Well, I mean, I'm just putting the adverts on because the paintings aren't shifting as fast as I'd like. When the paintings start shifting, we can forget about the adverts. So nice to hear from you, Ronnie. Seriously, love you to bits. And we'll speak again, right?
Love you.
Take care of yourself. Bye. Ronnie Barber is incredible. Ronnie Barber. I will put a link to his podcast on my Twitter, which is Flipping Cath, by the way, if you want to look me up as soon as possible. So, we've got Lee, we've got Jack. I've still got room for you if you want to give me a ring. 0344 499 1000. You're listening to Talk Radio.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Talk Radio. 0344 499 1000 is the phone number, and like that, it's gone midnight, and we've got less than an hour to go before the end of the show. So if you want to give me a ring about anything, don't be shy. Give me a shout now. 0344 499 1000. Pete's given me a ring, and he is waiting very patiently. Thanks for that, Pete.
Okay.
Hey, what's going on with you?
I think I sound a little to your swing. I think it's saying something like over here.
Sorry, no? I didn't quite catch that. Go on.
I think it's saying something like over here.
Oh, the haunted swing. The haunted swing. Let's have a listen. It's not what I heard, but I'll tell you what I heard in a second. You reckon it's over here? Let's have a quick... Hang on, let me find it. You know, unlike a lot of ghost spotters, I had the foresight to record it on my phone, so it's here, right? It's over here isn't the sound that I heard. What I heard was a woman's name.
A woman's name?
Listen.
No, I didn't hear a woman say.
I'll reveal it very shortly, Pete, but thanks for having listened to it and taking me seriously, because I know a lot of people will scoff at haunted swings, but I believe they can exist.
I believe they definitely do exist.
Of course
definitely.
They do. When it's someone's happy place.
Child, In a playground in Hampshire, we went to see my grandparents, and we was on a few swings there, and you know, I saw three or four swings, and one of them started moving by itself, whether it was the wind or not, I don't know, but us kids run.
definitely a ghost. If you were to write to Chat's Fate, they would definitely write it up as a ghost story, Pete, so that for me is proof.
Yeah, strange, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it though?
Different things, I think.
Yeah. Have you ever seen, apart from a haunted swing, have you ever seen a ghost?
My uncle took me to the fair at Hampton Court one year. Oh. When we was coming back from the fair in the evening, he said, come on, he said, we'll walk along the river, which was the Thames from Hampton Court to Kingston. So, yeah, all right. So he said, we're cut through to Palace Grounds. So I said, all right. And so I said, are we going to get in there? He said, oh, don't worry about that. Anyway, we got in via a little gate along the side and off to the river we went. And as we was passing the maze, he said, look at that. And there was a cloud, a mist, and it was moving unnaturally. You know, and it did frighten me a little bit, I must admit. So I was okay.
Yeah, a misty maze.
Yeah, just a little mist, a little patch of mist. It was moving, I don't know, it was just moving unnaturally, you know, just in a straight line too quickly. Was it a ghost or was it a mist patch, you know?
Was it a fast-moving mist patch? I mean, I know which one sounds more likely.
Yeah.
I don't really believe in ghosts and stuff, but I've had two things happen to me, one of which I can explain and one I can't. The one I can explain happened, I only had one little girl and she must have been about two, and I'd put her in her own bed rather than in a cot. So she was quite liable to getting out of bed, you know, and having a walk about and coming. And yeah. I'd wake up in the night and there would be a child breathing in my ear, you know, that kind of thing. So you're sort of used to it. So one night I woke up for this familiar thing to happen. There was a child standing by the side of the bed, looked like the outline of my daughter, sort of golden curls and a nightie on. And then when I looked at her properly, there was no face.
Oh, no.
And I shot out of bed. I kind of came to standing up, like terrified. Now, I don't know what that was. When I was younger, I used to get sort of night terrors where I would think I'd woken up in a dream and there'd be someone standing there and I'd wake up like that on my feet, sort of ready to bolt. Yeah. So I think that's probably what that was. Okay. Well, other people may say, oh, no, you had a visitor and you're just trying to justify it to yourself. Here's the other thing that happened to me that I can't explain. When I was about 15, me and my French pen friend, she'd come over on the exchange and we were walking back from another friend's house and we were walking towards where my mum and dad live, and they live on the other side of sort of a green that that goes behind people's houses, if you can imagine it, and there's a path that goes all the way up. And when you're standing at the top of the path, you can see a kind of dog leg and you can see either side of the green. So it's quite a wide view, right? Yeah, and as we were walking up the hill, there was a guy behind us, and I think he had something over his shoulder that I kind of assumed at the time was a tennis racket or something, a sort of a stick or something over his shoulder. And I'd only kind of looked over my shoulder at him briefly because he seemed to be really close to us. Mm. And to the point where we kind of picked up pace and we realised he was picking up pace as well. And by the time we got to my mum's, we'd run.
Yeah.
We'd run, and this guy had been running as well, and he'd come into the close that my parents live at, and you would be able to see, you could see the entire path behind him and this green either side of it, so you should be able to see it. And we got to the front door, banged on the door, mum opened the door, we turned around, there was no one there. And he'd been right behind us. Now, that is one I can't explain.
No.
That is one I can't
explain. It either, to me.
And that is weird. That is weird. And yeah. I'm a massive cynic and I cannot tell you what happened there. And we both looked at each other like, oh, my God. But, you know, 15-year-old girls often make things up and no one believed us. Yeah. But that was a real thing.
Did you do that? You know, I mean, did your friend see it?
Yeah, we both saw it because we both started running because he was like,
it felt
like he was sort of bearing down on us, you know. It felt threatening. And it was that kind of dusky sort of time where I think women in particular become quite vigilant as to who's walking close. And, you know, I think blokes who are thoughtful.
Yeah,
and blokes who are mindful kind of drop back a little bit or cross over the other side of the road so as not to, you know, appear threatening. But, yeah, that was a weird one.
Yeah.
As for my swing, now that is... it's probably nothing that WD-40 can't fix, but I think it's talking to me.
It doesn't actually say oil me.
No, it doesn't. Do you know what I can hear? Seriously, and my kids found it hilarious because once you hear it, you can't unhear it.
Yeah.
Emma! Emma!
Wow. Isn't that strange?
Do you hear it now?
It's my daughter's name.
Uncanny, Pete. It's uncanny.
Wow. Yeah, it definitely is, Kev.
We should leave it there before we get any spookier because, quite frankly, we're going to disappear up our own spookiness. thanks very much for calling, Pete. 344-499-1000. We don't need the Ghostbusters. We can handle this stuff, but it is getting pretty spooky around here. You're listening to Talk Radio. I'm Catherine Boyle, and I'll be right back after this.
Late Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.